Upwork is the world's largest remote talent platform. Devs, designers, writers, strategists, you name it. Find, hire, and pay all in one place. Whatever skills your scope demands, Upwork is how. Need to find coders outside your area code? An SEO specialist for 6 weeks? Or a UI designer through December? Pros available short or long term, one time or as often as you need them, and they're proven, rated, and reviewed. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, October 20th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. All this week, we're bringing you sessions from our annual Tech Live conference, where our colleagues talk to major players in and around technology about the top issues and latest developments in the industry. One of the biggest topics this year has been whether and how to regulate big tech.
Both Democrats and Republicans don't like tech companies right now. And they both use the same words. They talk about antitrust, they talk about monopoly, but they both want different outcomes. In the end, what's happening is the companies are in the middle of a political fight over their ability to change the conversation. And two sides want very, very different things.
That's Alex Stamos, director of the Stanford Internet Observatory. He used to be the chief security officer at Facebook. He and Julie Brill, the former FTC commissioner and current chief privacy officer at Microsoft, represented the tech companies in Monday's town hall-style debate. On the other side, we had lawmakers who've been driving the conversation on regulating big tech. Democratic Representative David Cicilline from Rhode Island's 1st District. He's also the chairman of the House Antitrust Subcommittee. And Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri.
Well, I'd like them to stop abusing their monopoly power by ceasing to have it. So I think one of the most important things that this Justice Department can do is to bring an antitrust suit.
As you can tell, there was no mincing of words. We'll have their conversation moderated by our executive Washington editor, Jerry Seib, after a quick break.
A payroll and HR company needs to be prepared for whatever is going to happen. You could say that over 70 years of experience helping businesses all over the world run smoothly is good preparation. But for ADP, that's not enough. To make sure millions of people are getting paid on time and in compliance, we're staying on top of each new piece of legislation. So when it comes down to it, ADP isn't just a payroll and HR company. We're the company that helps you navigate the complexities. ADP, HR talent, time, benefits, and payroll, informed by data and designed for people.
By way of backdrop, if you live where I do in Washington, you're painfully aware that the presidential election is 2 weeks away tomorrow. And as we approach, tech platforms are under an unprecedented amount of pressure. There's concern about disinformation, about misinformation, about foreign interference, about invective, about anger. All that also comes as a critical time for the tech industry in other ways here in Washington. You know, the tech giants, the Justice Department is exploring filing an antitrust lawsuit targeting Alphabet's dominance in online search and advertising. Congressman David Cicilline hosted one of the most closely watched meetings of the summer when he summoned the executives of Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google to talk about their dominance in the market, and then later released a report that will affect the antitrust conversation yet to come. So what does all this mean for the future of big tech? What does it mean for our democracy? What's the future of tech competition? And what about that other emotional issue, privacy? Well, we're going to talk about all those things now. Congressman Cicilline is here to join us today, along with Senator Josh Hawley, Julie Brill of Microsoft, and Stanford's Alex Stamos. Senator Hawley, let me start with you. You summoned the executives of Twitter and Facebook to come to the Senate Judiciary Committee in the next week or so to talk about a controversial story, New York Post story that had emails from Hunter Biden from a laptop, the veracity of which is kind of hard to determine. Can you talk a little bit about why you did that and why, as a conservative, you don't think it's okay for the marketplace to work out issues such as the tech platform's difficult job of sorting out information, misinformation, disinformation, and outright interference?
Well, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me. What I have done is I have asked Twitter and Facebook, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, to come to the subcommittee on crime and terrorism, which I chair. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee, I hope we'll vote on subpoenas to Dorsey and to Zuckerberg as early as tomorrow my subcommittee doesn't have the authority of subpoena, only the Judiciary Committee does. And so I certainly hope we're going to vote. We'll see. I mean, that remains to be seen, whether a vote will be taken and whether subpoenas will be issued. But the reason why is we've got to get to the bottom of how these tech monopolies, and let's just go ahead and call them what they are. They're monopolies. Facebook in particular is a monopoly. Google is a monopoly. They have unprecedented power. You said a second ago that they were under unprecedented pressure. You know, they have unprecedented power. I don't know how much pressure they're under, really. Not enough. But they have unprecedented power in the American economy, over American news, over the distribution of information and communication. And you can see that power in real time with this attempt to censor, to throttle down the distribution of this New York Post story. Now, I don't know if the New York Post story, if the facts are accurate or not, we're going to find out. What I do know is I believe in a free press. And when you have a monopoly in Facebook that is attempting to stop the distribution of the news, we have a problem. And it's not just with the New York Post. They can do it to any media, just as every journalist knows this. They can do it to individuals and have been for a long, long time. This is what monopolies do. And it's time to check their power.
So, Congressman Cicilline, you come at this from the other side of the aisle, obviously, from the Democratic side. You had the hearings I mentioned this summer with the big tech CEOs. You said there that, simply put, they have too much power. How specifically do you propose to deal with that power? Is this a classic antitrust issue from your point of view, or something else?
Well, as you know, Jerry, we conducted a 16-month bipartisan investigation into the digital marketplace to look at the large technology platforms and how the marketplace was operating, what was the state of competition. And what we concluded in a bipartisan way in a 400-page report is that these platforms have monopoly power. They use that power to maintain their market dominance. They do it by bullying competitors, preferencing their own goods and services. And they have used that market dominance to act as gatekeepers into this part of our economy. And they have enormous power, what is fairly described as monopoly power. We put forth in the report a menu of options to look at ways we can reform through our competition policy to bring more competition into this marketplace. That starts with restoring competition in the digital marketplace by things like interoperability and portability, by requiring platforms not to be permitted to preference their own goods and services. Some bold ideas like structural separation, so you can either be a provider of goods and services or a marketplace, but not both. And then a series of recommendations to strengthen our antitrust laws, to modernize and update them. These are laws that were principally written at the turn of the century in response to the railroad and oil monopolies. It's a very different economy. And third, reviving antitrust enforcement with a set of new procedures and private enforcement and a number of other recommendations. So it's a whole menu of options that will use antitrust policy to bring competition back into the digital marketplace.
So, Julie, there's another big emotional issue on the radar screen here, and that's privacy. You spend a lot of time worrying about that issue. What's the best way to deal with protecting privacy in the world we're living in now? Is it self-regulation by the companies? Is it legislation? Is it regulation? Or is it something else?
Thanks so much, Jerry. And thanks to The Wall Street Journal for inviting me to participate in this important conversation. We're at an inflection point right now when it comes to privacy. We have an opportunity to create rules that will allow for responsible data use and innovation, and at the same time, protecting privacy. We are hearing from our many, many customers, and something that was demonstrated, frankly, by the COVID pandemic, which is that companies don't know what their guardrails are. They don't know what the rules of the road are in terms of how they can use data in order to solve problems today. So companies are asking for clearer rules. We also know that individuals who own their data believe that they don't have enough control over it and don't understand what companies and governments, frankly, are doing with data. So we recently conducted a poll, 5,000 registered voters, who by an overwhelming majority say that they want action on privacy legislation. And frankly, we have conversations going on in Congress right now, where both in the Senate and in the House, the Democrats and the Republicans are all putting forward proposals, which are some of the most sophisticated proposals that we have seen. And they overlap a great deal. There is a lot of commonality there. So we are at a moment that we should not lose. we are at a moment where we can move forward with legislation. If we don't, the rest of the world is moving forward. I mean, the rest of the world is, you know, whether it's Europe and its general data protection regulation, or the many jurisdictions and economies that already have laws on the books or are enacting them now that GDPR is already implemented and up and running. Between Brazil, India, Tokyo, Kenya, South Korea, I could go on. These are jurisdictions that are looking at how they should create rules to be interoperable with global norms and also protect individuals' privacy and at the same time allow innovation to flourish. If the United States doesn't move forward and relatively quickly, we will lose our thought leadership on this important issue. And Washington will give over its seat at the thought leadership table to Berlin, Brussels, New Delhi, and Tokyo. And I think America has something important to add to this conversation, so we should not waste this current moment.
So, Alex, let me ask you to jump in here a little bit and rise above the individual issues and talk a little bit about how you think the tech industry is handling these challenges. I mean, we're talking about a whole range of issues, some of which weren't so obvious even a year ago, some of which are brand new, all of which are controversial, all of which have created pressure on the industry. How do you think the industry is handling it, both in terms of substance and in terms of the public interface and the political interface?
On the substance of what happened in 2016, one of the most concerning things was the foreign interference by a number of different Russian agencies, including Russian military intelligence, but also private social media groups. I think in that case, the companies have acted pretty well. They've specifically put in rules to stop that kind of activity, to catch when people are posting content that isn't necessarily violating of any rules on their own, but in aggregate are part of an influence operation to change how people are discussing our democracy in the United States. And they've staffed up pretty good-sized teams. Now, there's a big difference, unfortunately, between the big companies and the small companies. So when you talk about Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter specifically, all those companies have staffed up large teams who are doing really good work in this area. Our team at Stanford works with them on research, writing up their results. With all of those companies, we have a relationship. There is a long tail of sites that don't have the resources or the capability to do that work. Now, the problem is that most of the information problem is right now around this election is domestic. And the vast majority in our work in the Election Integrity Partnership, the vast majority of disinformation we see that's either trying to confuse people how to vote, convince people not to vote, or to possibly cause violence around voting, the vast, vast majority is from domestic actors. And for that, the companies are in real trouble. And partially because this has become so politicized. Both Democrats and Republicans don't like tech companies right now. And they both use the same words. They talk about antitrust, they talk about monopoly, but they both want different outcomes. In the end, what's happening is the companies are in the middle of a political fight over their ability to change the conversation. And two sides want very, very different things out of their ability to shape and to control speech. And I think we're actually in kind of a scary place where we have, you know, the president talking to Mark Zuckerberg privately and probably asking him for certain things, of these executives being pulled up and yelled at publicly. And there's not really a process here that is democratic or open. These decisions are being made in private rooms based upon external political pressure. And I think the industry, after the election, it's too late now, but they're going to have to really move to a much more public and transparent method for having these discussions and arguments and coming to conclusions, because right now they're acting in a quasi-governmental manner without the trappings of legitimacy, and they are very much open to being pressured by various political actors.
Well, let's take advantage of the presence of two members of Congress here to ask, what do you want? What is the outcome you're looking for? What kind of changes do you want, Senator Hawley? Let's start with you.
Well, I'd like them to stop abusing their monopoly power by ceasing to have it. So I think one of the most important things that this Justice Department can do is to bring an antitrust suit. You know, before I had this job, I was Attorney General of the state of Missouri. I was, I think, the first Attorney General in the nation to bring an antitrust investigation of Google. I'm delighted now that all 50 state attorneys general plus D.C. have such an investigation underway, and the U.S. Department of Justice. I think that an antitrust suit against Google is absolutely warranted, and probably against Facebook also. So that's point number one. I do think we need to change our laws to get at this concentration of power that these tech companies have amassed. And we can do that along several fronts. Number one, consumers ought to have control over their data. Consumers ought to have the right to say, I don't want to be tracked around the internet. I want to control my own data and be able to say, no, you can't track me unless I explicitly consent to it. They ought to be able to get their data back, to have the big companies delete that data. Behavioral advertising, which is where most of these companies, Google, Facebook, where they really make their money. Behavioral advertising, I believe, should not be immunized by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. That's that famous shield, that immunity shield that has allowed these companies to become the behemoths that they are. I don't think they ought to get immunity for behavioral advertising. I think it's outside the scope of the act. Congress ought to make that clear. That would remove much of the incentive for these companies to track and to spy and to surveil and then to sell that data. All of that's in service to behavioral targeted advertising. I don't think they should get the immunity shield for that. And finally, Jerry, I would say that it's time to revise Section 230 itself in another way. If these companies enforce their terms of service unequally, then individuals ought to be able to take them to court. And they are treated, these tech companies are, unlike any other media company in America. They are immunized from suit just about across the board. They have all the power. Individuals have no power. It's time to redress that balance.
So, Congressman Cicilline, you talk about a range of options. What are the options that appeal to you?
I agree with much of what Senator Hawley just said. Look, we want competition back in the digital marketplace. Many of the problems that we're discussing this afternoon are a direct result of the enormous market power, the dominance of these large technology firms. And the absence of competition has resulted in a decline in innovation, oppressive contracts, unfair practice, anti-competitive behaviors that simply are permitted because of the huge size and power of these platforms. So what we really want is antitrust enforcement that brings real competition into the marketplace, that will allow consumers to have more control of their data, that will allow consumers to have greater privacy protections, that will prevent these platforms from engaging in anti-competitive behavior that favors their own products and services, that doesn't allow them to acquire data that then permits them to acquire competitors, to bully competitors, to exclude people from their market. So I think all of the good competition policy that we fought so hard to include in the history of our country needs to be protected, and we need to bring real competition to this digital marketplace. I do want to say, though, this notion of unequal treatment. Look, I know there is, I think two of my colleagues described it this morning as a baseless fantasy grievance that the internet is somehow biased against conservative voices. That's simply not true. In fact, if you look at the vast majority every day of the highest rankings, they're conservative websites. I just did it before I came on today. 9 out of 10 are Fox News, Don Bongino, Donald Trump, Jay Sekulow, Fox and Friends. Mark, there's one, NPR, that's not considered a Republican or right conservative. So that's just not a real issue. But the dissemination of false information is real. We saw it in the 2016 campaign. We're seeing it again here. And this, I think, is the challenge, is how do platforms deal with this very serious and pernicious problem that is undermining our democracy, the widespread dissemination of false information. Every time there's a discussion about Section 230, it's an attempt to bully these platforms because of this claim of conservative bias. It just doesn't exist. And right, we have a real problem here that we need to address.
We could go on that for a long time, I'm sure. But let me open it up now and turn to our gallery and ask Heather Kraft, the Executive Vice President of Hotwire, if she wants to jump in.
Sure, thanks. Earlier in the discussion, Julie mentioned that the rest of the world would move forward without us when it comes to rules and regulations around things like data interoperability and privacy. When you look at that global landscape and some of those countries that she mentioned, who do you think is currently getting it right or moving in the right direction that we should model?
Julie, why don't you, obviously you should start, but Alex and our two members of Congress, I want to hear from you both about this important competitive question as well.
Such a great question, Heather. Thanks for asking it. I actually think that there are elements of some of the laws that are appearing around the world that we should adopt. But what we need to do is really provide, an American version of it that will be Very protective of individuals, will focus on companies' responsibility, not place all the burden on individuals, so that companies bear their fair share of the burden around privacy. But also we need a law that is interoperable with the global norms that are developing. In order for a startup that wants to jump into the, you know, global economy, they can't build two different or three different systems for how their data is going to operate. So we need to have laws and norms in the United States that are interoperable with this global, with the global norms that are truly being developed right now. So we need to have user control. Users need to control their own data. We need to have company responsibility. We need to have transparency about how data is being used, and we need to have strong enforcement. With those four pillars, I think that we will be embracing a lot of what we see around the world, but we can create a truly American version of that that will also be interoperable, so that companies, small, medium, and large, can compete around the globe.
Okay, so quick final thoughts, because we're literally out of time, but I want Senator Hawley, Congressman Cicilline, and then Alex to weigh in quickly in that order. Senator?
Well, thanks very much. Thanks again for having us. I will just say that I agree with much of what Julie just said. I think it's absolutely vital that when we look at reforms, that we give users control over their own data, that they be able to own their own data. It's their personal property. They shouldn't have it taken from them, tracked, used, sold without their explicit consent. I think we've got to, as I said a moment ago, strongly discourage behavioral advertising and the incentives of these companies, these dominant platforms, to collect that data, to sell it, and then to use it for those purposes. We've got to break up their monopoly power. I want to add something to something that David said a little while ago, which is about the current structure of antitrust enforcement. I think it's vital that we reform that structure in the United States. The FTC, which has the lion's share of enforcement authority, just has not been an enforcement agency, an effective enforcement body in this context. I think we should totally reform the FTC. I think it's time that that we submitted it, that it works more closely with the Justice Department, that we actually give the Justice Department new authority to go after antitrust violations, that we give the FTC more expert authority so that they can work in concert with the Justice Department, and we remove a lot of the conflict and overlap that has paralyzed antitrust in this area of law for the last several decades.
Congressman, very quickly, final thought.
Yeah, I would say I've been very impressed with the work of the European Commission and the UK Competitions and Market Authority, as well as the Australian Competition and Consumer Protection Agencies. But I think the question is an important one. American leadership on this matters. We have really abandoned our responsibility for good competition enforcement for the last 50 years. We need to modernize our statutes. We need to provide resources to our antitrust agencies. We need to insist that they be led and staffed by people who are sufficiently creative and enthusiastic. And we need to restructure the enforcement so that it actually is taking place. But there's a lot of work to do. These are easy problems to identify. They're complicated problems to solve. It's a complicated marketplace. But the last point I'll make is, it's our responsibility to lead on this. Congress has a particular responsibility here. But as we know, with huge economic power often comes huge political power. So this is a battle for our democracy. This battle between monopolies and democracy has been taking place almost since the beginning of time. And this is a moment to be sure that democracy wins.
Alex, 10 seconds, final thought.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think we need to bury the narcissism of small differences between us in the EU and other Western democracies. And we need to have a unified voice, because in the 21st century, our biggest risk now is the Chinese tech industry on a number of different ways. And we need to have a kind of a united voice of democracies of how we want to regulate tech in these multinationals.
It's a good point. We didn't talk about China much, but, you know, we're out of time. It could have gone on for 2 hours. But Julie, Alex, David, Josh, thank you all very much. Fascinating conversation and a great fire starter for the rest of this conference, which is what we were hoping for.
We'll have more highlights from Tech Live in this feed all week, so come back tomorrow for more. There's also one more day to tune in for all of the conversations, plus masterclasses and networking opportunities. If that sounds good to you, you can head over to techlive.wsj.com/register now. We'll also have live streams and other coverage on our website, wsj.com, and on social. We are at WSJ. All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.